Yeah, so what's happening with Beetlejuice?
All right, yeah. Moon Cube back again. Check it, trick it. Let's begin.
Oh.
Podcast on podcast, people. Let me hear some noise. Chef Hattie's in the house. Jump, jump, for joy.
Yeah. Oh, you went
Chef,
old school.
Chef Hizzle in the his house.
You went. That's a nice intro, bro. You took it old school. You took it old school.
With Moon Nizzle.
With Moon Nizzle. So you can say that.
Yeah,
you get a pass with the Nizzle.
I can say that.
You get a pass. Yeah, yeah. Different alphabets, brothers and sisters. Different alphabets.
Yeah, we got two big Crizzle up in the house.
Two
too.
Big Crizzle.
Yeah, what's up?
Two big Crizzle up to the Chef door, man. It seemed like both doors had to open.
I know. They had to open up
in,
both doors.
Mashallah, bro.
Yeah. He was walking up like this. He was like, open up both doors.
I think he was the D-boy of the hood. He was D-boy of your hood?
You gotta walk in
sideways. What you got on my podcast?
What you got on my cold brew, homie? The homie Hadi, originally from Lebanon, born and raised, in Boston.
Yeah, New Hampshire, Boston.
New Hampshire, Boston. And Chef Hadi is the homie that actually, you know, put the battery in our backs to do the podcast show. You know
actually,
what I mean?
He introduced
us.
He was a telephone line that connected us. You
for
know
sure.
What I mean?
Yeah, so he the one connected us. You know what I mean? So I was checking out Chef Hattie's IG page, and I kept saying Q on it.
Yeah.
And I kept saying, wait a minute, man. He kept throwing up the West Side. I said, man, this guy, he got a little flavor with him. You know, he must be from the hood.
I got some swag, right?
I hit Chef Hattie up. I said, bro, who's this Asian dude in all your videos, bro?
We were on video call.
Yeah, we was on video call.
And he was in the background.
It was at the cooking class.
Studio. Yes, yeah. That's what threw me off, because I'm like, it's a cooking class. This dude look like he can't cook. He keep throwing up West Side.
But he said,
what the hell is happening? What's happening? I need to know. So Chef Hattie, welcome, bro. Welcome.
Yeah.
So he introduced me to Q. Q introduced me to Big Chris and Big Jeff.
Yeah.
What's up with Jeff?
Jeff? No, he's doing good. He's doing good. He's still doing his video, but he has more of his short films that he's doing now.
Okay.
So it's more motion pictures.
So shout out to Jeff. Shout out to Big Chris.
Yeah, he's still part of the family.
Yeah,
you know?
Tell him I said what's up.
Yeah.
So welcome, bro.
It's a pleasure, man. Pleasure.
So we got our guests.
So real quick, let's start it from the beginning.
Yes.
From Boston days, from the time you moved from Boston to Lebanon, became Lebanon Don.
Lebanon Dizzle.
He used to be a freestyle rapper. He was a freestyle rapper.
Yeah, I seen.
I used to do my thing back in the day. It was more of a hobby,
I guess,
but I was always in the kitchen focused. So it was like between both.
Yeah.
You know, that was like a side job.
Yeah. So before that, what happened in Boston?
Well, I was actually raised in New Hampshire. You know, I was born in UAE in the Emirates.
Okay.
And then we migrated over to the USA when I was about 4 years old.
Yeah.
And by that time, you know, we just living there in New Hampshire between Salem and Derry. And I spent a lot of time in Boston, you know, going to the Boston
Garden.
How far is it
from Boston?
Watching the Boston Celtics play.
How far? What's the distance between your town and Boston?
Like about 45 minutes, not even.
Okay,
so we used to go there, spend a lot of time there. But, you know, my upraising in New Hampshire was basically, I fell in love with cooking in my house. So that's where it all started.
Oh, okay.
It was my mom, Dukes. Shout out, Mama.
Shout out, Mom Dukes.
She would make all that good food. You know, we were a big family. Family of seven.
Wow. Dang. Seven siblings.
Yeah. No, all together.
Five siblings, mama, baba.
Yes.
Seven. Wow.
And I'm the middle child, so middle two older, child. Two younger.
Oh, so you took a lot of licks.
Oh, definitely.
You took a lot of licks. Yeah. Somebody had to keep the middle class, the middle child, I was going to get hit in the back
definitely.
Of the head.
It's always blamed on me.
Yeah.
And I basically was always in the kitchen helping my mom cook for family meals. You know, my mom, we were about that.
Yeah.
Getting together, sitting down at the table and cooking.
Yeah.
I'd be in there rolling grape leaves with her, and she's like, get out, you know? And I'm like, I want to help, mama. I want to help. So that turned into me having a passion for cooking. And then I started working when I was about 16 years old in a restaurant called Derry Restaurant and Pizza.
Yeah, it's a
pizza shout out to Derry Restaurant Pizza.
Shout out to Derry Restaurant.
That's where it all started, right?
That's where it all started.
So they get your first job.
Yeah, it's a Greek family.
Greek family. You still in touch with them?
Definitely. Most definitely. Most definitely. The kids
so
and
you got
to
bring them. Tell them to come to Saudi, man.
Yeah.
I wish, man. That would be dope.
That'd be dope.
So
go ahead, yes.
So I started off as a dishwasher, you know, just like every other cook that made it, you know.
Wow.
Worked, and then just kind of, it was my summer job, you know, and then I liked it, and I started doing kitchen work more, preparation.
Yes.
And then it turned into a passion, curiosity, career.
Wow.
From there, I worked there for about 4 years, then we moved back to Lebanon, and then I started working in some high-end places. I wanted to up my game.
Yes.
So
of course.
I worked in a Movenpick Hotel, which is a 5-star hotel.
Yeah, Movenpick.
Movenpick.
Yeah, I worked there for 2 years.
Wow, dope.
You said it. You said it more high end. We said like we back in the hood. Movenpick.
Movenpick.
Yeah, he's like Movenpick.
You said it like a basketball.
He's like Movenpick. He's like Movenpick. He's like Movenpick Hotel. We're like Movenpick. Okay.
Movenpick. So you started. You was there for 2 years.
Two years. Okay. Basically, got to learn a lot there. Picked up a lot of skills, a lot of techniques, and from there, I started working with a chef called Maron Ejdid. He's a celebrity chef in you know, the Middle East.
And he's very popular. Michelin? Is he Michelin?
No, but he's the judge of NBC Top Chef.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
what's his name?
Maron Ejdid.
I'm not going to even try to attempt to.
I worked with him for 5.5 years, picked up a lot of things.
Okay.
We did a royal wedding together in UAE.
Wow.
Yeah, nice. We opened up some catering services, opened up some restaurants. So that was a lot of knowledge that I was picking up.
Yes.
And I opened up a few joints up in Lebanon, not for me, you know, as the executive chef. And then it was my turn to be that executive chef, to have my name on the jacket, creating my own dishes.
Yeah, so you took it step by step.
Yeah.
I think you can appreciate, you know, your career when you take step by step, when you go from the ground up, you know what I mean? Rather than just overnight
here. Yeah, yeah.
Because then you really appreciate it. That's why we taste the love and it cook the food, bro.
Thanks, man.
Because there's actually love in the food.
Yeah,
that was loving it.
Bro, I really, to me, in my opinion, I can taste food when it was cooked with passion.
Yeah.
We call this in Arabic. Is this real? Like, because in my mind, I could tell if somebody just threw something together or they put some love into it, bro. You know what I mean? Like the grandma lasagna.
Yeah, that's
like
the best.
Like mama's cooking. Yeah, I seen a meme one day where it was, because you know, the new grandmothers, especially back home, be like 31 years old. 40 years old.
Grandma
in our time was different. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I seen a meme when somebody had a picture of lasagna and the dude, he was an African American. He's like, man, it ain't enough pain in that lasagna. Like grandma. Grandma hit the pain with it. Like she be in there humming and everything. And when you taste it, you like, grandma, you really, all that pain just went right into the cheese.
Right into the food.
You know, so do you guys say that? And you said it was a saying that you guys
in
say.
In Arabic, we call it nafas.
Nafas.
So it's inside. Yeah, you cook it from inside.
From within.
Yes. You feel it, bro. Nafas. Yeah, from you could within. Tell when somebody was like, man, this person, he must have had a heartbreak last night.
Speaking about grandmas, I had my best friend. His grandmother was 100% Italian.
Wow.
And we used to go to his grandma's house and she would make us these amazing Italian meals.
Wow.
And I picked up some things from them too. So I was basically just picking up knowledge wherever I went for the cooking. Mm-hmm.
For sure. So we're gonna try some of his pasta though. You know what I mean? We're gonna see what Italian grandmother passed down to you.
Now we have to. We didn't get invited and we got to taste his food at the library club.
Yes.
Which I've already tasted many times.
Yeah, me too.
But
me too.
You know, we want to taste his specialty.
But I think he did it with some love that day.
Yeah,
that day we was like, in the building.
Yeah, he's
like, we was in the building. So it's
my boys, my boys.
Always made with love. Always made with love.
That's good, bro. That's how you gotta do it, bro. Because I can taste food and be like, man, I felt they really put their all in this.
Oh yeah.
And the thing about me is I like to make everything from scratch.
Dope.
So my kitchen is a chef-driven kitchen.
Yeah, what's going on? What's going on?
All right.
We at the Library Club.
Library Club, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, ready to do this?
Ready to do this,
buddy. Did you eat? Nah.
You gotta see what Chef Hattie.
Yeah, right?
You gotta see what Chef Hattie working with.
Yeah.
Food today.
So this is the Library Club. Thank you, kind sir. Look at that. Look how beautiful that is. Like I said, every piece of furniture and design was brought from Italy. Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, sir?
Look at that.
Afternoon.
Boom, and then we got, this is the kitchen. Boom, and then we got this side too. Look how beautiful this is, man.
Hey, bro. Chef Hattie plus Hattie equals Chef plus Hattie equals Shaddy. So Shaddy is like, yo, both of you guys are hilarious, you know? So why don't you guys team up? It seems like you guys have a good chemistry.
And it worked. At first I was against it. I was like, nah, man, I tried the podcast thing in the past. I think it's not going to be a good idea. But then
peer pressure,
man. And then we clicked, you know what I mean? Yeah. So now we have Chef Hattie, aka Shaddy, you know what I mean? He's one of the you know
executive chefs
And we've been hearing a lot about his cooking, so we're gonna get him on the show. But first, we gotta taste the food.
Yeah,
right? So if the food is good, then you can come on the show.
Yeah,
if the food is good.
No. So he invited us. He was like, "Hey, come eat at the restaurant, and then
Library Club
at the Library Club, and then from there, we might actually pick a dish or two, and then we might be in the kitchen, and he's gonna teach us how to cook.
Oh yeah.
Shaddy style.
Yeah.
So we just ordered.
Good, man. We ordered.
Woo!
We
ordered. Hey,
welcome.
Shaddy's here.
Shaddy.
Welcome.
That's my brother from another mother from Boston.
From Boston.
Yeah, so this is the infamous.
Good. Yeah. This is some of my food.
Yeah.
This is the infamous Chef Hadi that we always talk about on almost every episode.
Homie.
Yeah, he's the one who connected us and. He's the foundation between our friendship, you know, like
he's the connect for the mood to cue.
Yeah.
The nucleus.
And basically for everything else too.
Today they're gonna be trying some of my signature dishes. We do everything fresh in house, from the pasta, the bread, the ice cream, the steaks, the sauce.
Man.
Enjoy, guys.
Yeah, everything's made from scratch. Like even the pasta. It's not like you go to the grocery store and buy the dried up pasta and you boil it. No, he actually makes the pasta himself.
I can't wait to get that.
Yeah.
It's with Chef Hadi later.
Yeah, that's gonna be good. What? The salmon. The salmon. You want to do the honors? Go ahead and just pour it. Yeah. Here, hold on. Let me bring that.
Oh, yeah. Pour it here.
No, yeah. Pour it. Go. Yeah. All. Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
All right.
And then we got the poppers and gnocchi. This is actually one of my favorite dish.
Yeah.
From this restaurant.
And what is this?
So it's the gnocchi is a type of pasta, but instead of using grains, it's potato.
Okay.
So it's potato and then the chicken poppers.
Uh-huh.
And with arrabbiata sauce. So arrabbiata is spicy tomato sauce. It's on point, isn't it? Yeah, it's on point. And of course it has the spicy mayo, I think it's the Cajun sauce or whatever.
Amazing,
huh? And then look at this, babe. Paella.
Paella or arroz con pollo.
Yeah, arroz con pollo. Actually, no, this is arroz con seafood.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do this.
Yo, bro. Wake up, bro.
What?
What's wrong with you, man?
Dude, food coma, man.
Food coma, the dessert.
Oh, today, shoot. Bro. Okay, let's do this. Oh, dude, I'm pregnant, man.
Stack of love. See, the rappers done got him.
Chef Hadi trying to kill me. I told him I'm on a diet and I'm trying to lose weight, and then he brings all those out, man.
So Hadi,
can't come to the chef and tell me you're on a diet.
Yeah.
So I hope you guys enjoyed everything
Hadi.
So far.
So what's this, Chef Hadi?
So this is the tiramisu cake. It's done in a different way, with a sponge cake soaked in coffee syrup with mascarpone cream. Okay. Then you got your truffle shuffle, which are homemade chocolate truffles. And then you got Burberry Blue, which is a blueberry lemon cake with some raspberry sauce.
Yes, sir.
We got to switch.
Yeah. Right.
Every day we shuffle.
Every day we shuffle.
I call this the Tiramisu Island.
Tiramisu Island.
Yeah.
But he said coffee. That's the only thing I heard.
Yeah, so you like it. You like
my coffee, bro.
You try that. You like that. That's one of my favorites right there, too.
Enjoy.
Yes, okay. Dang.
It's
about to go on. It's all.
We need this at MW, man. We need this.
Which instead of having a manual and going by the books, it's a chef-driven kitchen where there's a chef inside screaming out orders, doing the preparation with the guys, with his kitchen team. Yes. And basically, I created every single recipe in that kitchen. Mm. And I also designed the kitchen myself.
Oh,
and that's what's the Library Club. I'm currently now the executive chef there.
Yeah, amazing.
And I do some consultancy on the side and some cooking.
Yeah. But real quick, before we move on.
Yes.
I forgot. Shout out to our sponsors, Manscaped.
Manscaped.
You know,
Can't escape Manscaped.
Yeah. Can't escape Manscaped. Oh, I like that. Watch this. Ask me to throw something in.
Keep it clean. If that's the tagline, you better. As long as that check is.
We got to get monetized for that.
You better break me off, brother.
Trademark.
If I see that line,
trademark,
can't escape Manscaped. It's going live. Who said it first?
Hey, the Rolex of men's grooming. You know, Chef Hattie, he just ordered it, even though he didn't use Mutu Q as a promotion code.
Why you got to put me on the spotlight?
Put him on glass. Which means he didn't watch our show before.
I missed that one episode. That's it. He missed the one episode.
Yeah,
man.
Shout out to Manscaped. And then shout out to our new fashion partners, Elevata.
Elevata, I like
that. They got some dope.
They got some dope gear.
Is this one of their
things? Yeah, this is one of their pieces. Nice.
This is also one of them popping my collar.
Yeah, you know they made me look like I just came out of the music video with Tupac and Dr. Dre and California Love. You know, the Burning Man episode. but shout out to Elevata.
Shout out to Elevata.
Okay, so moving on. Let's go come back to
that. But I have a question for Chef Hadi, man, because you was born in the UAE, then mm-hmm. you moved to Boston, then you went back to Lebanon. Yeah. Did you go back to America after that?
Nah, so how I got to Riyadh or Saudi was...
hold on. Before we got, how you got to Riyadh, what's up with this Lebanon Don thing?
Lebanon Don, that started back in the U.S.
That's Jahlia.
So basically in the U.S. we used to have something called ciphers.
Yeah, of course.
Where we would stand around. You know what's up.
Yeah, of course.
We would stand around and somebody would kick a beatbox and we'd start freestyling. And this would go on
from
hours.
From top of the dome.
Top of the head.
Yeah.
4 or 5 hours of straight freestyling, kicking off each other, vibing off each other. And
which is, not to cut you off, which is dope. We're going to go back to that. Like when I first moved to Saudi Arabia, I remember watching television and I was shocked that Arabs have something similar that they've been doing for thousands of years. And it reminded me of us in the hood when we have our ciphers.
Yeah. Because
like you said, you will go off this person to say something last and you will
you
go
kick off.
Bro, the Arabs have a poetry session. Have you ever seen it?
No.
Bro, look this up. I want y'all to check this out. The Bedouins of Saudi, especially they line up. It'd be about 10 on this side, 10 on this side. Two is out in the front, you know what I mean? Whatever this person say last, this guy come up with the last word and he just continue and he doing poetry.
When I seen that,
I said, bro, this is a cipher in the hood. Go back. Really? So check this out. The Adam's been doing this for thousands of years, bro.
Damn. You know what I mean?
It was amazing, bro. We're going to bring that back out. Because you know one of the things I'm thinking about doing in Saudi Arabia, I'm going to do poetry workshops.
Nice.
So maybe you'll join me.
Yeah.
We start teaching the kids how to do poetry.
I just got to tone down my lyrics a little bit so it's not too offensive.
Drink a little Zamzam water and then go.
Take out the cuss words, you know?
Yeah, the Zamzam water. Take out the cuss words.
I like that.
That then we go. Now go back.
He just started it right there.
That was a freestyle.
Yeah, look at that.
It's in the blood, bro.
So go ahead.
So it just kind of kicked off there. And then when I went to Lebanon, I started performing. I got a chance to perform at a club.
While you're cooking still.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. That was my main job, cooking. And
while you're chefing it up. Okay.
And I started using that in my lyrics while I was freestyling. It's like, you know, linguine pasta and the chef had the Lebanon Don and people liked it.
So the
people were like, all right, let's start booking him. So I started getting booked in the, you know, local clubs in Lebanon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was always like, should I stick to rapping or should I stick to cooking? I loved both. But I felt, to be honest, my heart went towards cooking more and it was going to be more of a secure future for me.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm glad you stuck with the cooking, man. Even though you had some good freestyles and poetry.
You got some good flow.
But we're going to do some poetry workshops for the youth. And so
I would like that, man.
Poetry. We'll teach them how American style poetry.
Yeah.
You know
I would like that.
We're going to get that popping.
That's nice.
Maybe
we
have the first event at the Library Club and then MW Cafe. Yeah. The winner get a cheeseburger.
All right, cheeseburger. And a cold brew from MW.
And a cold brew. A gold plated cheeseburger.
Nah, I don't do that gold.
Nah,
I just
like to fancy it up.
I like to throw some love in there. You know,
some love.
It's authenticity, you know?
It's authenticity.
I mean, I see all these gold plated things and it's like are y'all gonna come to my restaurant if I start gold plating things and paying $1,000 for a plate?
Difference, man. I'm still simple.
Yeah.
That's what the one thing I like about being around
just
a person.
Just say it right. You still hood.
I'm still hood.
You still hood.
Still got the hood in me, man.
You still real.
When you still think like, wait a minute, does this make sense? Like hood give you common sense despite all the stuff you might see going on in the hood.
Yeah.
We got some common sense.
It's called street smarts. It's called street smarts.
Yeah. So definitely. It's good, you know what I mean? If it's free, you're going to give me a gold plated burger. That's different, but I'm not going to go and say, hey, can you give me the gold plated burger? I'm not about to do it.
And pay an extra, like,
it just feel like
200.
Man, yeah, extra 200 real. That money could have went to something, you know what I mean? More, it could have went to more burgers. Yeah. It could have went to something different, man. I just think different. Yeah. And I always been like that. And I say that's the good thing about dealing with a person. Even when I was with Pac, the one thing I love about going back to my hood, because I go back to my hood and I'll be on records that sold millions. Yeah. And when I go back to my hood, my brothers be the first ones, then my cousins, then the homies in the hood will be like, bro, you still move from the block.
Yeah. Mm. They still kept in check.
It never went to my head, because when I went back, they didn't care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? My grandmother and them didn't care. My uncles and them didn't care. Like, hey,
we don't care who you are. I'll still smack you if you get out of line.
Going back to the hood gave that balance. You know,
they always kept the buck.
And look, when you change, you change for the better. And people have to accept that. And if they don't, that's their problem.
For sure, for sure.
You know, like I was in the streets, you know. I'm not gonna get into details, but I had a tough life. I was always fighting, always angry, you know, just trying to live that street life. But when I moved out and I went to Lebanon, I was like, it's time to wake up. Wow. And when I came to Riyadh, I woke up even more.
Yes.
And it's not like I changed. I'm still heady. I'm still the same guy, but more focused, wiser, more focused on my life, on my career, the better things in life, family.
One thing that all three of us always did was we always stayed humble.
Definitely.
You have to, bro. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's why I never could stand arrogant people. Like, who are you? You know what I mean?
Like,
I remember I read a statement from one of the early Muslims, and he said, like, how could a person be arrogant when they came through, I think he mentioned the urine traction twice. You know what I mean? And you know what I mean, right? You guys get that? He came from the urine traction twice. Y'all don't get it?
No.
He came from the...
He went through the urine traction twice. I don't want to go into detail.
Yeah. I got you.
You went through the man, and then you came out the woman. Basically, in other words, you came from nothing. Like, how are you arrogant when you come from...
Saying.
You know what I mean?
We all come from the same way.
In the reproductive side. I get you. I got you.
He used the word urine, I guess, to make you really think about, like, that's true. Like, who are we? Like, we wasn't born, like, humble yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You come from this, from your father, and it's from a part that should be hidden. You know, shameful.
Yeah.
And then the same with the mom. Like, who are you? So when I read that, it made me say, it's the reality. Even when I made it in the music industry, you know what I mean? One thing I realized, fans ain't loyal. I seen the way they did Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson was the biggest pop star. And as soon as the media
twisted,
King of Pop, look how they turned on him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So fans not loyal.
No.
You know what I mean? You're only going to have your close friends and your family at the end of the day. You know what I mean?
People is going to be the
And you might sell a million records one day and you might sell one the next year. So always keep it, you know.
Keep it humble.
Not based on records. In life in general. You can be up here one day and you can be down, whether it's business, whether it's life, anything. You know what I mean? So keep, and I went through that stage where I hit rock bottom. You know what I mean? And I always say it was the best days of my life.
Because that's best when you, days that's of my when life, you, bro. Yeah,
really.
Honestly, days, when you hit rock bottom,
when you hit rock bottom,
that's when you know who's with you and who's exactly. against you.
All right.
Who's real and who is fake.
I guess it's the
and
way you
that
you
puts
look
you in
at
reality
it.
Check.
I guess it's the way you look at it, check. You know?
Yeah, you got to look. It was the best days.
I feel now these are the best days of my life.
Of course.
Because I passed everything that I've seen and got. Yeah. These opportunities in front of me now.
You went to Medina last week.
Yeah. I did. It was a blessing. Yeah. Blessing, man.
We're going to bring him one day.
Yeah.
Apparently, I could go.
Of course
Medina,
you can.
I could go. It's Mecca, I couldn't go.
Mecca and Medina, you don't supposed to. But we will bring you.
Medina
Shadow Allah, Allah, Yella. You can come.
Medina's right,
allowed,
right?
You got to say.
Mecca, Medina, you don't. It's supposed to be Mecca, Medina. Mm. Only for the Muslims.
Because I know Medina is supposed to be the holy city.
I feel he would be with us.
Because that's where the Prophet Muhammad is buried, right?
Yes.
But see, look at that. I'm not even Muslim, and I already
know
that, dude. I might as well be.
It was I got a statement yesterday from my aunt. Shout out to my aunt Mamie. She's my mother's sister, which is beautiful because she's a Christian. You know what I mean? Christian woman. But I go to my Facebook and I read a comment, and she like, you know, her prayer for me was all with Allah. May Allah bless you.
I seen
it. I'm glad that, you know what I mean? I'm happy to see what Allah has for you, what He's done for you, that He guided you. And this is for my aunt. It touched me because we have two different religions.
But she's still using the word Allah.
Even though the Christians in Lebanese and Jordan and the Christians and Jews, they still use Allah as God.
So whether you, I'm sure you've seen that in Lebanon. I have a Jordanian friend, you know, from the taco place. They Christians, but when they say God, they say Allah. But for us in America, it's different because they making it seem like Allah is one God and they got
and
separate.
our gods.
Which it's a translation.
It's the same.
Allah means God. But most people in America don't know that. So when my aunt, just from her nice and her kindness, it touched me. You know what I mean?
It put a smile on my face.
You know what I mean? That's dope, bro. That's dope. So my aunt, mashallah, she's like a very, shout out to my aunt Mimi. I'm hoping to get
shout
out here
to Saudi. Shout out to Tiha Mimi.
Get out here in Saudi, man. Tiha. Good person, you know what I mean? Yeah. My other aunt, which is my mother's other sister, they came to Dubai a few years ago. I would say about 4 years ago. And I went there with my family to visit her, visit my cousin. The first time they was in the Middle East. You know what I mean? So it was amazing, bro. So, you know what I mean? So, but back to what we were saying, you would be in Medina one day, God willing. Inshallah.
We will.
And Mecca, inshallah.
It's the most.
Inshallah together, hopefully, inshallah.
Inshallah. It's the most peaceful piece of land I ever stepped on.
Everybody say this, bro.
In my entire year, in my entire life, no exaggeration, my entire existence. There's just everybody something about this, it. Man. It was it just is, so bro. Peaceful and so relaxing.
Yes.
Like, and when you look outside the city, it's all mountains in the distance. And there's just something about that land. Is, that's,
like the aura,
it's,
right?
It's been blessed.
Like, he was mentioning it to me. And Chef Hattie, he's a little bit wild like me. Like, not in the, you know,
fronting basically.
In the haram side, but it's just the spirit.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. You know, I got that.
Bro,
I got
so when he came back and he told me how, like, as soon as he landed and he stepped inside, he was like, like a weight was lifted off his shoulders.
To be honest, bro,
let's go tomorrow.
It's hard to explain. It's hard to explain, but what Hattie said, every person that I know who went to Medina say the same thing. No matter, they can be from Africa, Afghanistan, Asia, America. When you read their comments, they all say the same thing. Before, like, it's something peaceful about this place.
Before I asked you, and the first word came out of your mouth was peaceful.
Bro, it's hard to explain.
And all right, bet. We're going. And we're going tomorrow.
When you have to be Muslim, but you can come, yalla.
Let's go tomorrow.
Let's go tonight.
I just stand right outside the border then and just look in.
Talk is cheap. It's only an hour and 20 minutes away. Yeah. So I'll cut the tickets right now.
We give you that certificate. New Muslim certificate. Yeah. And you'll be with us.
All right, it's real quick though.
Yes.
So what brought you here?
All right.
Like, how'd you get here and like, all the special stuff that you did, I want people to know.
For sure.
I want to know.
I'm proud of that.
So basically, after I put in about 11 years in Lebanon of cooking in the kitchen, dedicating my life, and I did actually get to work with a Michelin star chef. His name is Marcel Revan. Shout out, chef.
Shout out. I can't pronounce his name.
Where's he from?
He works in Montenegro.
Montenegro.
Yeah,
he's an executive chef in one of the hotels there. Dope. So he came to... The restaurant I was working at, I got to pick up some tricks and trades from him.
Yes.
I got to visit a lot of restaurants in my life. I got to travel a lot as well, too, and pick up different tastes. Mm. And what happened after that 11 years is I got a job offer to come to Saudi. And I was like, all right, Saudi Arabia, I don't know too much about it. Started doing my research. And it was my pop Dukes that was like,
you better take it.
Go. You know, just put your hands
in.
Like,
I feel something,
put,
right?
Put your faith in Allah and go and just see what happens. And I was like, all right.
Bet. Let's go.
And you came, how long you been in Saudi?
About 5 years and 4 months now.
I met you first time about 4 years ago, no?
Yeah, yeah.
So right when he got here.
Went inside of...
Smokey Beard.
Smokey Beard.
So Smokey Beard.
Yeah, that's where I met him. Okay. And, you know, it clicked. I felt the humbleness. I felt that, you know, you're good people. You
know, because we met and then we kept seeing each other again and again and then you know what I mean?
And then I baked him a pie. I baked him a pie and
he baked me a pie. That was Ramadan too, son.
Yes.
Bro,
yes.
I remember
watching you guys met.
Oh, okay. Watching you guys every day bake pies.
By the way, it was delicious.
It's super delicious, bro.
Yeah, I was like,
he must have something to do with it.
He came by with some sugar in there, you know.
Bro, that was banging. Because you know, on Ramadan, like, desserts taste extra delicious.
Yeah, they do.
I took that joint home. I think I was like,
yeah. And the thing is,
I turned to a pit bull.
It's mine.
It's all mine.
You know, being a chef, I kind of like to do these type of things. You know,
dope.
Bake some cookies for some friends or whatever. Invite some friends over and cook.
It teach you not to be it teach you to be generous. Like, it's a trade that I think by nature you have to be generous. You have to be hospitable. You have to be, you can't be stingy.
Damn, so as a chef, are eating you your want food. Everybody to try your food.
Yeah, that's what I said. So yeah, it makes you, are eating it your makes food. You natural, generous, and not the naturally, opposite of a stingy person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean?
So let's talk about Riyadh. So when I came here, I started doing private tastings for royalty. Yeah. So I was going to different palaces doing these tasting menus.
Wow.
And
for the royal family, right?
For the royal families.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
You know, and they were liking it and they were like, oh, he's got a talent. He's got talent. Yes. And then we came up, instead of doing like an Italian restaurant, the Library Club came to life, which is an international fusion cuisine.
Yes.
So I told, you know, the owners, let me go wild. Let me be creative.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I traveled to India, picked out my team. I traveled to the Philippines myself, picked out, handpicked my team, did interviews, ate a lot of food there, got some good experience, came back and we started. And I just started doing this, you know, international fusion cuisine where I can infuse anything I want, using Saudi flavors with Mexican food, using Japanese with French. My Korea. Roots, the Lebanese, you know, with a little touch of Cuban.
Which we call that fusion.
A little bit
fusion.
Of touch of Cuban, you said.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Cubano. Yeah. Okay.
I like that. I like that.
Like, I got Cajun fries on the
Cajun
menu.
Cajun fries.
I had some other things before that had that Cajun spice. I put jambalaya.
Now we need sazon.
Sazon. We need to get the sazon.
Yeah. There, bro.
So I had a dish on the menu called jambalaya.
I know jambalaya.
Man, I wish they had that. I love jambalaya.
I had it on my menu.
It's a New Orleans thing.
Exactly.
New Orleans thing, bro.
It's a Sorrel cooking.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
Jambalaya.
Yeah. And it's kind of like the paella. In a way, but
that's
just
basically what it is.
True. Yeah, it's just different spices.
Yeah,
Southern style. You know? That's Southern style. It's
after this episode, I think everybody gonna be hungry, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, real quick, just so you guys know, like me, my idea was of a chef was here's a recipe and just follow the recipe. This dude, he if he wants to make like for example, paella, he doesn't need a recipe. He uses the top of his dome like he's freestyle rapping. And he's like, all right, I think it needs this and this.
True,
and this,
true.
This,
that's the best there is.
And he makes every food from scratch.
True.
Even his pasta.
Yeah,
like
me.
I'll call myself a chef, but then I'll go get the, you know.
No, you can chef it up.
You chef it up. You chef it up.
Pasta and I'll put it in the bowl of water.
I tried some of your food,
He makes the pasta himself.
At his house, bro. I thought you was a chef for a minute.
Yeah, you do your thing. You do your thing.
Yeah, you do your thing.
I'm not there to your level.
So let me kind of, what you just said, break it down a little bit. So, yes, I do freestyle cook, if you want to call that, freestyle cooking. Dope. And I create everything I make. But when it comes to the business, having a restaurant, I do a recipe card. No one in the kitchen is allowed to cook from their head. They have to follow the recipe. The reason for this is to control the cost of the kitchen.
Of course.
Have the same flavor. When a guest comes up to me, was like, I ate a dish 3 months ago in your restaurant or 2 months ago or 2 weeks ago, and it's the same flavor.
Consistency.
But then that's you're the one who creates the menu, but then you create your recipe card for your under-chef.
For my team to follow. Exactly.
Yes. Is it right? Under-chef?
No, you could, my team. Chefs? My team. Then my family.
Yeah.
You
the know? Homies.
The fam. The homies.
The
fam.
The cooking homies.
So being in
Riyadh,
fam,
right? Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Being in Riyadh, working in this restaurant, I got a lot of opportunities too. I went to Egypt, opened up a restaurant there.
Dope.
Yeah, came back, and then I actually here I was given cooking classes in Misk. So Misk is for the prince, the crown prince. It's part of his foundation. I got a chance to give kids cooking classes there after school activities. That was fun.
Dope.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Wasta. He has a wasta.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I learned here was wasta.
Wasta.
And you know what I like to say? No wasta, no pasta. No wasta.
You ain't going to eat. Oh, that's what's up.
You don't know the right person. You
that's
ain't
what I'm going to say. I'm going to say that, but not mine. It's like no wasta,
no pasta, man.
Right.
And I also started giving cooking classes for adults in a place called Blend. So Blend is a culinary art studio where it gives a chef the opportunity to teach people that are either in the industry or they just want to learn.
So you love what you do, though?
That's what it comes down
to. Most
important,
I'm
just doing it every way I can, spreading my knowledge to people. And by the way, as good as I become in a kitchen, you never have enough. So I can never be like, I made it. No, there's still more to learn.
Always gonna learn.
Always gonna learn.
That's life.
Yeah.
You always got more to learn, bro.
But that's life. Huh? Yeah.
I implement that in my career, you know?
He took it old school.
I just realized.
Crazy.
All the mutual friends we have was through cooking.
Wow.
Because look, you met Abdurrahman Afia and the Afias, you know, all three of them or four of them or five of them, whatever, how many kids they have. Yes. They all look alike. But they came to your restaurant, they ate at your restaurant. That's how you met them.
Yeah.
Then so from you there, met recently. The Afias.
No.
I met them in Ramadan as well.
Yeah, during Ramadan when you guys made the apple pie. Yeah, that's
we reached out to each other on social media. Wow. Yeah. I was like, come by
so
the library.
Brought us all together.
Yeah. And then from there, when I was shooting for his blend classes, he invited Abdurrahman, and that's how I met him.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's how me and him and his kids clicked. And then from there, we met you.
Yes. And now we got the podcast.
Well, I met you, and then you already knew Abdurrahman, so it was like.
And then from that, he the one that came up. He said, man, you guys should do the podcast show.
Yeah.
But let's edit that out, because he might ask for his cut if it blows up.
Ooh. Uh-huh. Abdurrahman
has nothing to do with the podcast.
I'll tell you something.
I wish you guys
the best success.
Nah, I know this is the homie, man.
I wish you guys the best success.
Yeah, of course. You know, and the crazy part, I was through with the podcast idea of the podcast.
Yeah.
So when Q hit me up, like, man, we should do it. You know, Chef Hattie said we just click on a Instagram. When you post on Instagram, you guys have a good vibe together.
We
I was
off
through
each
like,
other.
Nah, I can't do it.
Even when
glad,
I asked
bro,
him,
we did some. You know, we had it running for what, 2 months now.
Yeah,
we had homie Kareem Benzema. We had
Mike Epps.
We had Mike Epps.
Exhibit.
We had
the Outlaws.
Chef Hattie. We had the British General Council. So you know,
yeah,
and all goes it's back
a,
to you.
It's a pleasure being in
now,
that.
Yeah.
In
that, you know. Here's a funny thing to go more in depth with that. When I asked him, hey, you know, Chef Hattie brought it up, we should do a podcast again. He actually did that.
I was like,
you know, I had bad experiences with it.
I tried so many
times.
Yeah, because I'm the type of person, I try something. If it doesn't work, I just. You know,
so I told
maybe
him.
Maybe a lot didn't put no vodka in. That's how I look at it. Like, no vodka's in it. Let me go to the next phase of my life. I'm 44 years old. But I feel like I'm 20. So we're going to keep it doing some more hobbies.
But I was like, you know what? Let's just try it. So I was like, I think on a Tuesday when I told him, I was like, look, Saturday.
We'll come through with some
cameras. And let's just sit and then we'll do like a 5 minute
And I
skip.
Still said, you know what I said? I agree. I said, I'm going to just try it so this guy
but
can
I
know.
Don't think, I,
no, he
I
can know it ain't going to work. This is what I said. I'm just going to try it so he can know. He can say, see, I told you. I can look at him and say, see, I told you, it's corny.
And what was supposed to be
but
a 5 minute
and it clicked.
What was supposed to be a 5 minute test? Yes. We ended up shooting a whole 30
minute
episode.
We ended up talking for like 30 minutes and it felt like 5 minutes. And that's when I was like, wait a minute.
Hold on, wait a minute. He did the whole dance up. Wait a minute.
It worked out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and we here with the Chef Hattie.
Yeah, my man.
Lebanon Don.
Chef Hizzle. So we're going to do some poetry classes for the youth.
I would love that, man.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean? I'll jump in on that and throw some Kareem in there too.
Yeah, K-pop.
Yeah, I'll K-pop. I'll K-pop the hell out of poetry. Yeah. So you helped build the library club from ground up
from the scratch.
With the menu. The menu that's in the library club is all yours.
True.
And I know it's good because you invited us to eat there.
Yes.
And the restaurant, the library club,
so
the whole ambiance is good.
Good.
Yes.
Was it good?
Amazing.
Great.
Amazing, bro. We might have to go after this.
Yeah.
We might have to go get some of that pasta. What is it? The gnocchi? Yeah.
The gnocchi and poppers in arrabbiata sauce. That's my
How you pronounce
favorite.
It? Because some people say gnocchi.
All right. So it's pronounced gnocchi.
I used to say gnocchi.
Gnocchi.
Yeah.
I used to say gnocchi.
Because I'm hood. I'm
still saying gnocchi.
The getaway, I said gnocchi.
Yeah. I'm saying, what's up, gnocchi, homie?
Yeah.
Pass the gnocchi, homie. But he hit it with the gnocchi.
Yeah,
I'm dealing with a real
gnocchi is, because we said it a lot. People are like, what is this?
Tell the people what it is.
So basically, gnocchi is a potato pasta. All right.
Yes.
And there's a story behind this gnocchi.
Okay.
The first time I was actually making gnocchi for myself, like as in a restaurant, as to be one of my signature dishes, I had to make it 7 times before I perfected it.
Dang.
Because you got to take the potato and boil it and then roast it. And then you take the inside of the potato, mix it with flour, Parmesan cheese, a little bit of nutmeg, white pepper, salt. You could add some white wine, halal, in there. Gives it a nice extra flavor. Absolutely. And you could do without the white wine. You could add some water. Mm. And it came out so good. But I had to do it 7 times So the staff in the restaurant were eating gnocchi for 1 week. I was like, you guys gonna eat this? I ain't throwing
every
it away.
Every day y'all gonna eat it till we get it right.
Till we get it right.
So, but that's what we had at the restaurant.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is my favorite dish.
So what part was the potato? I didn't taste the potato.
The pasta.
It's in the pasta.
Wow.
Yeah, it's so a potato-based pasta. Instead of being egg,
yes,
it was made with potatoes.
Did you know how most noodles are made with egg?
Yes, yes, yes.
True.
Gnocchi is made with potatoes.
Potato, flour.
Potato, potatoes, you know, whichever way you want to say it.
Potato, tomatoes.
We going to the library club now, bro. Let's go.
Again? In fact, it was tight. It was tight as hell because that's my favorite dish because I love the arrabbiata sauce. Mm, you know, like that. Every country I've been to, I always go to their Italian restaurant. I don't like to go to like the franchise ones.
All right.
I like to go to like the mom and pops ones.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm like, do you have penne arrabbiata? Let me get that. And no, so far, the only place that's come close to what I used to have when I lived in Germany and when I've been to Italy is yours. Even though it's not penne, it's gnocchi.
Yeah, I switched it up.
I still love it though.
Yeah.
And actually, I don't know why. I love it more now.
Wow. Right. Man. Yeah, it was banging, bro.
That's what's up.
It was
banging. Dad, your crispy crab sushi.
Yeah,
that was on
sushi. Is one of the signature dishes.
Oh, man. We got to eat after this, bro.
Yeah. And then
you ain't on no apps, bro. I'm about to go to my coffee shop and order
something. And then your grilled salmon?
He was inviting us for lunch after.
Oh, I forgot. He's cooking Korean today.
And then your grilled salmon?
He's cooking Korean today. We almost forgot.
Hold on. No, we're still talking about the food. The grilled salmon? Dude, that thing is on point.
Yeah.
Everything was on point.
Normally, I don't like to eat. The only salmon I like to eat is sushi, like raw.
Okay.
Like I can't eat salmon that's cooked because it tastes so dry.
Yeah.
But what I love about yours is the inside, a lot of people might not know this, but inside is actually a little bit slight raw.
Yeah.
Like the outside is just cooked crispy.
So it
makes it more tender.
So the reason behind this is the cooking technique I use for the salmon. First of all, I get the freshest salmon in Saudi Arabia. I really do.
Where is it from? Jeddah?
From the
Norway.
Ocean.
Norway. Oh, so he said the ocean.
Now, Jeddah has no... That's where a lot of the fish come from. Yeah. Jeddah. They have the Red Sea.
Jeddah has a fish called najil, which is really, really delicious too. I work with it. And they got flounder, which is really delicious too.
Wow. Like
See? Oh, Jeddah got a lot of good fish.
My salmon
comes from Norway. So we get fresh fish, right?
From Norway.
Yeah, they have the best, yes.
We clean it in our kitchen. I don't get fillets chopped up. We clean our own fish.
Dope.
What I do is I put it in a vacuum bag and I cook it on low temperature. It's called sous vide. Mm. This low temperature makes it very soft and tender.
Yes.
Then when a guest comes in and requests a plate, I pan sear it, gives it that crispiness that you like, and the inside still stays
good.
That's
why I love
it. Was this a setup? This is making us hungry, bro.
All right.
I'm bringing you guys back to
the restaurant, bro.
Yeah.
So
now what was really fun though is that
you
invited us into the kitchen to cook actually.
I did.
Yeah, that was all right.
Yeah.
Bro. And it came, and we ate it. After we cooked it, we ate it. And it was banging. I felt like a chef the whole day. I was about to go home and start chopping it up.
Yeah.
Put some onions in it.
Too big Chris guy.
You had me ready, bro.
Now he's bigger Chris.
But then I came to my sisters. You know what I mean? I said, I ain't about to go in that kitchen. Man.
Gentlemen, today we're going to be doing a gnocchi. Mm-hmm. Gnocchi is one of my signature dishes. It's a fresh pasta made from potatoes.
Yes.
Q knows it. He loves it.
Yes.
He's ate it a couple times and he likes it. So,
all the time.
So today I'm going to do a demonstration and then I'm going to let y'all take over.
Oh, yeah. Snap. Right. Okay.
So, this is the pasta dough. What I do is I take a piece. Always use some flour so don't get stuck. And then
that's easy.
I roll out the gnocchi.
Yeah. But I'm giving him the easy part.
I'm a chef then. Hello. Chef Moon. After I get that log, I wanna take this and just clip little bites. And then just throw them on the side. Okay. And there you have your gnocchi.
Oh, that's it?
Gnocchi? That's it.
Man, gnocchi.
It looked easy. I thought it was easy. Actually, not really that easy.
So you want to try to have it all be in the same size. And if one piece does not work, you put it back in the dough.
Yeah.
And it reforms.
Reforms. Okay. See, Chef Hattie made it look easy. I'm still rolling.
I know, right?
I'm still rolling it, man.
Mine doesn't look right. I don't know why.
I think we got too. Did I get too little? Too less?
I think I got too much.
All right, and then put it down. Get some flour. Yeah. Flour always helps you roll it out.
Okay.
And now you just
want a good size.
Yeah.
All right. I saw you do this. What the? It looked like you did that.
Yeah, it just pushed it aside.
Whoa.
And usually in the kitchen, I'll tell you when you're done. Okay. So this passes, these don't. So we put these back in the dough.
Okay.
This is how we really do it in the kitchen.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
So I passed three passes.
Yeah.
You put it here. At least I got three. Somebody going three of mine.
Let me see.
That didn't pass.
Definitely didn't pass.
This dude did a soccer kick. He did a soccer kick with a flower ball.
Podcast. Looking cute, acting like he's doing something.
Security!
Chef, get him out.
Chef, security!
All right, so what I would do here, just kind of lift it up.
Yeah, I got it. I got this one.
This one right in there?
Yeah.
All right. Here, you got your olive oil. I put my garlic to get them roasted up a little bit. Here, I'm making a traditional arrabbiata sauce. So arrabbiata is a spicy tomato sauce.
Yes.
All right?
Spicy tomato sauce. Say it again, what is it called?
Arrabbiata.
Penne arrabbiata. It's like penne arrabbiata.
Yeah, like without the penne, we're doing the gnocchi.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which works.
All right.
It works so well.
Yes, sir.
Boom, look at that garlic.
So what I do is first I put the olive oil. Get the garlic roasting.
Now we're mocking them like people's mouth.
Yeah.
Good thing I haven't ate all day.
Right?
And
water. You want your garlic to be roasted like this. Get that nice flavor infused in it.
Remove those.
I know he would have left those in there and ate them.
Yeah, I would.
So what I would do is just lift it up so it doesn't leak too much.
Let's back up a little bit there.
Hold it.
See?
Yeah, let me hold it. Oh, I love it. I love it when the fire pops up like that, man.
By the way, that's only the TV.
Man, do that again?
Oh, they won't do it
anymore,
huh?
Yeah,
they won't. Oh, yeah.
So what we'll be doing is, after you put your tomato sauce, I'm going to put in my parsley. I'm going to put in chili flakes, and this is why it's a spicy tomato sauce. I won't go too much.
No, do all of it.
That's
good.
It's a lot.
Yeah, we're going to eat it. It's okay.
We're
going to
eat it.
All right, man. All right.
We're on fire.
So you put your gnocchi in and you want to toss the sauce and cover them. Coat them. What I would do is drop a little bit more olive oil.
So that's
I like to add some lime.
Oh yeah.
That lime gives it a nice taste with the chili.
So this was be happening back here, man.
Yes, sir. Even you can do a little bit more lime.
Just so you guys know, this is an authentic East Coast chef.
Yeah.
Tim's in the kitchen.
Yes, sir.
Tim's in the kitchen.
Huh?
And the amazing thing is, all of this is made from scratch. Like, nothing's like, you know.
Oh, they seen it.
Frozen food that you,
You guys made it yourself.
Yeah, we made it.
We made that. All right. Next step would be.
What's the next step, chef?
Come in here. Done.
Let's do this.
Just drop all that love right in there.
Me and Q made that. We did that.
Now that we sell it,
that's all of us right there.
You can buy that plate for $1 million. I gotta throw gold on it then. Throw gold on it, brother.
All right, so I throw some mozzarella in between to let it get gooey and melty. I take some chicken poppers.
Now we gotta go to Snapchat to follow all the social medias. You gotta
pause it.
So poppers and gnocchi is actually inspired by my baby, my future wife, my Egyptian queen. She told me to add chili lime and it'll give a nice taste to this dish. And when I did, it came out.
Do you cook at home, by the way? Anytime?
Nah, but every once in a while. All right. But now I make my son Muhammad do the cooking. Besides my wife, of course, she cooks. Yeah. But now when I want a quick, you know, sandwich, Muhammad, yella, make me a bacon and egg cheese sandwich.
All right.
So he like, damn, he reached that age where he like, man, I'm cooking for Abe.
It's funny because
I won't front, but I don't really cook, but I can get down with the basics, you know, the simple stuff. I can make a sandwich, I can make egg and cheese, I can make spaghetti. You know, I remember back in the day when I was in LA, last night I was talking to my uncle Carlito in Puerto Rico.
We had a nice talk
last night, and I was telling him, he said, do you know anything about our cuisine, like Puerto Rico? I said, of course, I was raised with my grandmother. Like I live, like my grandmother, he's my grandmother's youngest brother, but he lived in Puerto Rico. So, because I might be visiting soon, he said, because we're going to give you cookbooks. I said, believe it or not, when I used to live in L.A., I used to call my grandmother, and I have on the phone, she used to be pissed off. My grandmother was crazy. She used to be pissed off because I was a spoiled kid. Like, grandma, no, you got to tell me how you make this chicken. I'd be a little out of my, you know, Jalea. So when you feel good, I'm like, man, I need that food. So I call my grandmother. She'd tell me, she'd sit on the phone with me for 30, 40 minutes saying, okay, now put this in. But her voice would be aggravated. I told you to do this. Put this in it. But it was a bang, and I forget what type of Puerto Rican dish it was. I remember we used to fry. This is the only thing I remember. She used to have me, you know, butter up the pan, garlic butter, take the chicken. I removed the skin, and we'd fry the chicken. And then she'd make me boil some tomato sauce, put sazon, sofrito, garlic. Damn. And then you have to dip it in there and let it boil for a little bit. And then poured over white rice. That's
good. Some platanos on the side, too.
Bro, I might have to do that again.
Yeah.
Yo, this just became a cooking podcast, man.
For sure.
You got the chef on, you know. We got the chef here.
We got to talk about food, you know what I mean?
You know why I asked you if you cook, right? My pop Dukes, he knows two dishes. And every time he makes these two dishes once a year, sorry, Pops, I got to put you on blast. He makes these two dishes. It's like he's the chef of the house. Where we all know my mom was the chef.
Yeah, you know.
And it's so funny because we have to eat from it. You know, and
is it good, though? If it's good?
It's good. I have to say it's good.
Yeah, you got to say good. He'll never forget. You'll come home and boss that shoe be ready.
It's so funny because he makes this one dish and we all have to eat it. And it's like, that was delicious, you know?
What he makes? What dish?
He makes something like chopped peppers, onions, and like a sausage kind of thing inside of a bread, which, you know, it's pretty easy. It's pretty easy. And he makes another thing with like ground beef and peas and carrots.
Wow.
It's like a stew. You know, it's the two simplest things, but that's what he likes to do.
Yeah, and you do it twice a year, so you know what I mean?
So when I tell him I want to become a chef, he's like, Chef Mache if she. So I'm going to explain it in English.
Yes.
He's like, you're a chef that didn't see anything.
And I'm like, Pop's OG with it.
I'm like, why you gonna put me down like that? But now.
Look at this guy. You all right?
I'm hungry, man.
But now he's proud of me. Because,
he's proud of you.
Yeah, of course.
Now
man,
you're the chef that's seen.
I showed him that being a chef is not just being a cook. Yeah. I'm an executive chef. I open businesses. I've opened a lot of things in my life. I'm up to about eight restaurants now in my career. Dope. Not for me, but as an executive chef, opening team.
Dope, yes.
Yeah.
That's
and
amazing,
also, the royal wedding I did in the Emirates, I got to do one here too for the royal family.
Dope.
Yeah, nice. that was a great chance I had.
So you enjoy it. You're enjoying what you're doing, bro.
Yeah, doing the catering, doing the cooking, doing all that stuff. And it's fun, you know? It's
dope.
Besides that, it's my career and my passion. It's fun. I enjoy it.
I think, bro, whatever you do in life, especially if it's your business or your job, if you love it, you really go all out.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Like if you love your career, bro, you wake up every day looking forward to go to work.
Yes,
or go to do. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Mm. So?
All right, so let's go to work and eat. hey, so real quick, don't forget to follow our homie.
Yes.
You know, Chef Hadi.
On Instagram.
That's Chef Hizzle.
What's his Instagram page?
Lebanon Dizzle.
Lebanon Dizzle.
Cooking at the library kizzle. You know, like, yeah, so here's his Instagram.
He's cute, kind of corn nizzle.
Yeah. Coming out with dope, the K-pop izzle.
So I do want to give, y'all some credit. Wait. I do want to give y'all some credit. So
yes.
Y'all did come to the kitchen. You seen how it was set up.
Yes.
You got to make the pasta, you know. Not from scratch. It was it was basically ready, but you got to roll up the gnocchi.
Yeah.
And you seen how I made the sauce.
Yes.
Yeah. So y'all gotta do this at home. Y'all gotta do this at home.
You know what?
Cut. Edit. Nah, you right. I'm gonna try it at home.
Man, it's too late. I'm gonna try it at home.
Definitely. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then I'm gonna send you the picture. Chef Hadi, you want to start or something, but I'm afraid you might start something, bro. I might end up being a cook every day.
And you know, if I don't do this, your brother's going to kill me. So shout out to Chef Ray Ray.
Yeah.
Shout out to Chef Ray Ray.
What's up with your brother? He's still here.
He came back. He went to Lebanon for a few. He came back now. He's here.
Dope.
Yeah,
shout out to him.
Doing working some catering businesses and stuff like that. So he's also a chef.
Say what's up to him.
Yeah. Shout out Chef Rabia.
Chef Ray Ray,
huh?
Yeah. Chef Ray Ray. I get the trademark for that. I get the copyright.
You made that up.
I made that up. And Chef Ray Ray actually liked it. He's like, I actually like that. And I was like, yeah, that's right.
That's dope, though, bro.
Yeah. So, but shout out to the Library Club. You know, thank you for inviting us. Let us eat at that delicious Chef Hattie's dishes. Look at that.
Delicious.
I just rocked right now, too, again.
Yes, it's coming out today.
On it, bro. On it. You heard him say he's on it, bro.
But yeah, you know, till next time.
Till next time, bro.
We out.
Peace. Follow the homie on Instagram with us. Twitter.
Yes.
Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat. Eat with us one day, bro.
Yeah, so don't forget, call the cops when you see Jun Kwan. In case you don't know who that is, my actual Korean name is Jun Kwan.
I think Jun Kwan is better than Q, though, bro.
Nah, but
is it Hadouken or Jun Kwan?
You see, that's why I don't...
Hadouken or Jun Kwan?
Remember the old Street Fighter games? Hadouken!
Jun Kwan, yes! Jun Kwan!
Man, I used to get teased so much growing up with that. That's why I don't like to use my Korean name. Because then Jun Kwan. It's spelled J-O-O-N.
So we just call you Junebug.
But people, that's the reason why...
You shouldn't have said anything.
They used to say that. They used to say, June went to the moon in a cocoon with a buffoon, you know? And then people pronounced my name wrong. They thought J-O-O-N is pronounced John. So now they call me John Kwan, which sounds like a dang Chinese movie. John Kwan.
John Kwan.
Yeah. You know?
No, June
so
like, Q.
So
we keep it simple. We keep it simple.
Q.
We keep it simple.
Anyways.
We keep it simple.
Call the podcast when you see Jun Kwan. Look at that. All right, we out, guys. Thank you again.
Peace. Thanks.
Chef Hattie.
Chef Hizzle.
Appreciate it.
Pleasure, man. Pleasure.
All right, let's go eat. I'm hungry. I take from you.
That was dope.
Manscaped. Stay fresh, clean start, head to toe, finishing touch, extra refinement. Bro, what did you bring me, man?
Man.
What is this?
All right, so the support for Mutu Q
yes.
is brought to you by Manscaped.
Okay.
Right, Manscaped, they are the men's grooming champions of the world, not just the city, Craig, the world.
The world?
That's one of my favorite lines.
Wow, so you really mean the world.
Yeah. Because what they do is they offer a precision engineered grooming technology.
But I like to look rough, man. I don't touch my beard. I like to look a little rough.
What about
from
the neck down, though?
Oh, yeah, from the neck down, we got to stay smooth,
like, when you
man.
Take your shirt off, it's going to look like you have a sweater.
You got to be smooth, man. You gotta,
some people are like that, you know what you do? And I like to feel silky smooth, you know?
Silky smooth, huh?
You know, like...
Silky smooth?
Yeah, just for me. Just for me, you know?
Dope.
The way I feel, like, I want to be silky smooth from the neck down, so...
I'm going to give it a try, then. I'm going to give it a try, man.
So what it comes with is this set is a special thing. Now, they just started in UAE.
Okay.
They just launched in the UAE, and this is the fourth generation of trimmers.
Okay.
Right? And the lawnmower 4.0. 4.0. Which means there's been many, many versions before that, but this is a 4.0.
Dope.
This one is... Dude, look at that. That looks...
Yeah, that look dope.
That looks pretty...
That look dope.
I think Manscaped is the Rolex of men's grooming.
Wow. Say no more.
Not Casio.
Say no more. I'm buying.
Rolex.
I'm in.
Okay, order. So this is the
give me your credit card. I'm ordering today.
Yeah. Yeah, so that it comes with this. They call this the weed whacker.
The weed whacker.
Okay. You know, because some people, they'll be having like...
This for the nose and the hair.
I mean, the ear trimmer in the ear. Man, I'll be seeing some people's ears and I'm like, dang.
Yeah, you know, my grandfather from Cuba, he kind of had like that afro coming out of his
ears. Yeah, right?
And I'm actually following suit.
I call it the Allen Iverson here.
I'm right behind him, so I'm glad.
Yeah. But then, no. Honestly, the way it looks.
Even the way that is modern, the weed whacker.
Yeah, the weed whacker.
That's dope right there.
Yeah.
Okay, what else we got in this box?
So the box comes with like...
Can I see?
The Crop Reviver.
The Crop Reviver, okay.
Right? It's toner.
Dope.
Yeah. And then you got the Crop Preserver.
The Crop Preserver.
Which is deodorant, not only for your armpits, but everywhere else, you know?
Dope.
Yeah.
What else we got in that box?
And here's the amazing part. Look how slick and slim that is. Honestly, when I first got this, I was like, where do I charge this at?
Facts.
But it comes with like a little charging dock that you just put it on and it charges it. Like the technology. I'm like, this got to be made by Koreans. My people had to make this.
Nice.
As nice as it looked, I know my people.
Check that out, man. Yeah, that looks
nice. Oh, camera's over there.
I try to play it off. Look, I did it slow. Yeah. Look, well, actually, it's three cameras in this room. Yeah. Korean. Korean try to make us look like we don't make. It's a camera there. No, and it's a camera there. Say the camera recording is over there. So now, but you saw me try to play it off. When you said that, I did like this.
Yeah,
I was smooth with it. Smooth as Manscaped.
So this upgraded trimmer, right? This upgraded trimmer includes a multi-function on and off switch.
Okay.
So like you can actually travel with this. So if you click it three times,
yes,
it won't turn on while it's in the bag.
Dope.
So that's what's good about this.
Dope. Right?
Manscaped. And that name, man. They got it with the name.
Yeah, they doing their anything, man.
Marketing is amazing.
I'm gonna try it out.
Yeah. So, and then it's wireless charging too. By the way,
did
I mention the wireless charging for both the weed whacker and the lawnmower? This is called lawnmower.
Lawnmower
4.0.
The names are killing me, bro.
Yeah, right.
Check them out. Y'all see it. We over here with it. Check it out.
Here's the best part of this.
Okay.
You get a 20% discount
if they
use the code Mutu-Q.
Mutu-Q, get your 20% discount.
20% discount when you use Mutu-Q at manscaped.com.
Manscaped.com.
And for our Saudi viewers, they just launched in UAE, which means they could deliver here tomorrow.
One day.
Bukra.
One day deliver. Bukra.
Right? That's tomorrow.
Bukra.
Right?
Bukra. He said Bukra. Did he just curse in Arabic?
Bukra.
Bukra. But I think he might have just cursed himself in Arabic.
No, I meant tomorrow. Bukra.
Bukra.